Welcome to Mythic Adventures. I'm Ron Johnson. I've been reading you excerpts from a book manuscript I wrote a number of years ago called How to Have a Mythic Adventure in a Monday through Friday World. And I've been telling you about the common features of the world's religious narratives. I've been saying that the heroes of the religious stories all over the world are people who are transformed slowly through a learning process. Not in a classroom, but through the events of their lives. Last time I read you the beginning of chapter 4, entitled The Slow Pace of Change. And I talked about how it's common throughout the world's religious narratives for things to take longer than the heroes want them to take. I'm going to continue reading from this chapter on the question of why. Why does it take so long? There are several reasons why the heroes must wait for the things they desire. First, as I've already noted in earlier chapters, these are stories in which the main characters are re-educated by means of their experiences. The problem, however, is that the heroes are usually not aware, at least in the beginning, that they are in a learning situation and are being invited to change. Most of the heroes and heroines of these stories have other, more direct goals in mind. Gilgamesh does not set out to gain maturity. He wants to fight Humbaba, or, later on, obtain immortality. I told you his story in a series beginning with episode 6 and taking several episodes after that. Sir Launcelot, in Malory's book Lamar d'Arthur, is in search of the Holy Grail and a closer relationship with his son. He is not seeking deliverance from his love of Queen Guinevere. Aeneas and his followers are not nearly as interested in founding an empire as they are in finding a home. Even the disciples of Christ do not follow him primarily in hopes of being changed, but in hopes of being with him in his coming kingdom. It is in their pursuit of these other quite different goals that the heroes unwittingly step into learning opportunities. From their vantage point, however, these opportunities appear to be interruptions or delays, since they want only to achieve the more particular goals that they've set for themselves, and they do not expect to become educated along the way. It takes time for them to recognize what's happening. Second, the nature of the learning process is inherently time-consuming, as we'll see more clearly in the chapters ahead. People do not change habits easily or quickly, even when they want to do so. It takes time to stop behaving or thinking in customary ways and to form new habits to replace the old ones. But it takes even longer when the people involved have not originally set out to change. In the narratives we are considering, heroes are re-educated by finding themselves in situations that demand change from them, whether they like it or not. And often, they do not. A certain amount of time is expended resisting the demand for change, or complaining about it, or asking for exemption. When the heroes finally do take the situation seriously and consent to let it change them, there are interpretive difficulties. Although the situation requires them to change, it is often unclear precisely what kind of change is being demanded of them. And, as we shall see later on, mistakes are often made. All of this takes time and keeps the heroes from accomplishing their original goals. Third, as part of their education, these heroes and heroines must often revise their goals. What they want in the beginning of the story is frequently not what is best for them or for those around them. As they try to attain their goals, they fail. They try again and fail again. These trials and failures add up, and the heroes slowly begin to rethink their aims. Meanwhile, suggestions for revision are all around them in the things that have been happening to them from the start of the story. In retrospect, the story moves along more purposefully than was apparent on first reading. Fourth, the heroes are delayed because, to put the situation more precisely, The story is not about them only. It is about how their relationship with their environment develops. This means that events may occur which are relevant to the plot, but do not directly involve the main character. Changes are taking place among the other characters that will eventually prove relevant to the main character, but he or she is kept waiting while these developments occur. For many years, Odysseus is prevented from returning home. Poseidon is angry with him and bars his way. Calypso wants him to stay forever as her love slave. But his long wait has another cause, internal to the logic of the story itself. For the story is not about Odysseus alone, but also about his son Telemachus. Odysseus' homecoming must be delayed so that in the climactic battle, father and son can defeat Penelope's suitors together. When we view the story from Odysseus' perspective, his long wait has no purpose. But when we take into account the events occurring back home, the purpose of the delay becomes apparent. Similarly, the biblical character Joseph, sold into slavery by his brothers and sitting in prison, can perhaps see no point in his long incarceration. Pharaoh's cupbearer, who has promised to tell Pharaoh about him, has obviously forgotten him. And so Joseph sits and waits simply because someone else has neglected to keep his word. And by the way, I told Joseph's story about a year ago on this program. But the situation has not yet ripened to the point where Joseph's gifts are needed. Pharaoh must have his disturbing dream, and his own counselors must prove incapable of interpreting it. Only then will the cupbearer's news about an interpreter of dreams have any significance for Pharaoh. Joseph must wait, not because the cupbearer has reneged on his promise, but because the situation that will benefit Joseph has not yet fully developed. If the focus of the story is merely on Joseph, it appears that time is being wasted. But if the focus is on the entire situation, then it is evident that all the elements of the story are moving forward in their appropriate time. Of course, the heroes can rarely see the entire situation while they're living through it, but it does help if they can, at least in principle, recognize that they are participating in a story larger than themselves. In the Taoist book, Chuang Tzu, Su Yu is on his deathbed, shoulders hunched, jowls hanging to the ground. A friend visits and asks if he hates how death is deforming him. But the old man replies, "What have I to fear? Ere long I shall be decomposed. My left shoulder will become a rooster, and I shall herald the approach of morn. My right shoulder will become a crossbow, and I shall be able to get broiled duck. My buttocks will become wheels, and with my soul for a horse, I shall be able to ride in my own chariot." End of quote. What makes this passage so comical is the ironic use of personal pronouns like I and me. Su Yu speaks as if he himself will be around to enjoy all the benefits of his body's decomposition. Although, like many other episodes in the Chuang Tzu, this story is meant to be funny, it's also meant quite seriously. The Taoist ideal is to identify with the ongoing life of something more than oneself. Quote, "Something nebulous. I do not know its name and address it as Tao." That was a quotation from the Tao Te Ching. To be a Taoist is to identify with the story of this larger entity and to interpret what happens to oneself within this larger scheme of things. In such a way of life, time itself takes on new meaning, for the passage of time in an individual's life is no longer the point. What matters is the timing of this larger story. It is in this spirit that Su Yu adds, "I obtained life because it was my time. I am parting with it in accordance with the same law. Content with the natural sequence of these states, joy and sorrow touch me not." End of quote. Fifth, The heroes of these stories must wait for the things they desire because their education is necessary for their ultimate happiness. The delay is for their own good, even though they usually cannot recognize this. At the beginning of the story, they are responding to a specific inner call of some kind, the enticement of love, the lure of adventure, the desire to bring about some good. But there is a higher goal that they often do not see, and it is for the sake of this higher goal that they have been challenged to their more specific task. In pursuing their task, they find themselves on the road toward this higher goal, that of complete and lasting happiness. Their work toward the more specific task has the power to change them, to make them more nearly like the ideal as defined by the religious tradition of the text, and therefore more nearly able to enjoy a completely happy life. They have specific deeds they want to perform, yes, but from the standpoint of the storytellers, these deeds are merely the means by which the heroes will more fully possess the power to live well. Well, that's the end of the reading for today. Those are some of the reasons that I have found why heroes and heroines in all the world's religious narratives have to wait a long time for the things that they are striving for. And hopefully that helps you and me in living our lives as a mythic adventure. There's a little bit more to this chapter where I talk about the proper response to all of this. Since it does take such a long time, how do you and I live from day to day under such conditions? I'll tell you about that next time on Mythic Adventures. I'm Ron Johnson.